Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to see.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 553. I'm Amy Matheny, and it is that time, folks, the annual year in review, where I'm so excited to sit down with my longtime buddy, Andrew Davis, the managing editor of Windy City Times Magazine, and he provides all of our news coverage that you hear Kirk and I record on a weekly basis on the podcast. So he really is the voice of the news, behind the voice of the news.
Exactly. The man behind the voice.
Exactly. And then this year, we are joined by our a new voice to the Queer Cast, our senior news writer, Matt Simonette.
Yep.
Said that right?
Yep.
I was actually just the other day trying to buy some kids I know the game Simon. This is a segue, totally. But do you remember the game Simon and had the little four things?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that was such a good game. And of course, now they've created more sophisticated games than Simon. But
wow.
I'm nostalgic. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, but Simonette.
Yes.
Matt Simonette, who is our senior news writer, and it has been a year to be writing news in the GLBT community. Mm-hmm. So I'm thrilled to talk with them. And I think just we're sitting here in Andersonville. We always hang out and have some warm food and some Middle Eastern food and hang out in the neighborhood to record, so we hear the sounds of the holidays and the decorated restaurant. Our waitress remembered us from last year, so we must have a tradition now, Andrew.
You made quite an impression. That's the
I'm usually like, we're recording. No. So anyhow, first of all, how are the holidays treating you both?
Pretty well. I mean, although it seems busier.
Yeah, it does.
Than usual. I mean, it just seems like there's constantly stuff going on. I mean, especially locally and statewide regarding marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm sure Matt can speak to that.
There's no rest for the weary. How about you, Matt? Are you a Chicagoan, just to get to know you a little bit better?
I've been here for 15 years, and I'm from Wisconsin originally. Mm-hmm. And
good Midwestern gay boy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I am thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you. And
let's kick off just talking about, Chicago and Illinois. I mean, city and state news of the year is obviously, I guess, the biggest news story of the year is that it has happened. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Same-sex marriage, we've already had some same-sex couples getting married, has come to Illinois. So, Matt, talk to me a little bit about where this news story started for us this year. I mean, what did it look like when we were talking about January, February, March, and where we are now?
Well, I think pretty much things were really getting hot with this story about
last December, right towards the end of the year. I remember being in Wisconsin at Christmas time when a lot of stuff was breaking, and then just going into January, it seemed like something was going to happen in the Senate when Heather Steens brought the, really indicated she was going to be bringing this thing to a vote, and then that happened in February, and I think
this was SB 10, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So we thought we were going to be the 10th state. There was optimism that we'd be the 10th state. We ended up not being the 10th state.
Right.
We're the
16.
Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Sweet 16. Yeah, I like exactly. That. It's a good number. And so there was it had that trajectory though of right of like the Senate. There was positive optimism,
right.
And then the House is where we got a little
right.
Stymied.
And then got a little bogged down.
And then, there was a lot of optimism between February and May, and then when May happened, people were excited, and then we didn't get the vote.
Yeah, and meaning we didn't get the vote. The vote didn't go to the floor.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So
right.
For people outside of Illinois listening, we had been promised that the bill was going to be voted on. It passed the Senate committee, then the Senate, then it passed the House committee. It was going to the House, the final vote, where Governor Quinn had said he would sign this
right.
thing. So, we were very poised to tee this thing up and take it home.
Right.
And then they did not call for the vote. Now, that created a lot of controversy.
Yes.
What was the controversy around that? Beyond just, like, a stall, was there a lot of finger-pointing?
Oh, there was a great deal of finger-pointing. Many communities were kind of were blamed.
Mm-hmm.
There were issues with the politicians were accused.
I mean, Greg Harris was really run through the ringer. The openly gay rep who had said this vote would happen.
Right. And so it really took a while for them to kind of reorganize and get all of the members of the coalition that was working towards this really on the same page, and but we really started to see that come together over I would say mid to late summer.
And then our very own Tracy Baim, the editor of Windy City Times, and some others forged a march on Springfield, which became a very big statewide movement for GLBT. And allied people to go down when the House went back into session, right, after the veto session, that there would be one more opportunity to have the vote taken in 2013 and make this happen. And both of you, do you feel that march made a difference? Do you think it made a difference psychologically or realistically for the vote, or what do you think?
I think I probably couldn't speak to realistically, but I think psychologically it did have a real impact. We were getting stories for a few weeks before the march took place that, maybe we can just push this off until next year. I mean, with a significant vote like that, a lot of politicians would be more than happy to just keep
post-election.
There'll always be a reason to put it off. There's always another election coming up. But I think the march really did show many in Springfield that many people in Illinois were invested in this and ready to, ready to come to Springfield to march for it.
If that many people, were willing to show up in the rain.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I was there, and it was rainy, and it was cold, and, Mitchell and I, one of the co-hosts on the podcast, we went down, and Scott Duff, one of the other podcast co-hosts, it was rainy, and it was cold, and people were there, and people were not just there from Lakeview and Andersonville. I mean, people were there from all over the state, and suburbs and churches and community centers and high school students and college students and families. I mean, heterosexual normative families, it was strollers. And it was really interesting to see all the different people come out of the Capitol building, for whatever reason, including the governor, to come out and show their solidarity and cross the lawn there, the street there, and come down the steps and stand where the stage and everybody was speaking all afternoon.
I think Madigan was feeling some heat too.
Yeah.
And because a lot of people felt that he could get it done.
Right.
And a lot of people feel he can get a lot of things done.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of things undone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he had something to do. He definitely had something to do with this final
right.
push.
Mm-hmm. So the vote will become effective. The marriage will become effective for GLBT people in June?
June 1st, but that's a Sunday, so I would say June 2nd.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So June 2nd. And yet there have been just here recently, here mm-hmm. in December, some people have been able to petition to go ahead and get married now.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Let's see. First, back in November, Vernita Gray, who's a prominent activist in the,
yes.
in the community and who's been very ill, she and her partner essentially petitioned to be allowed to marry ahead of the deadline because there's some concern that Vernita might not make it
right.
until June.
I was on the bus with Vernita.
Yeah.
Down to Springfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so a judge allowed that, and then it was.
So they were the first couple.
So they were the first
Pat
couple.
Pat and Vernita. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then last week, two more couples were married, and a judge issued an order that any couple now who faces this kind of these circumstances will be allowed to marry ahead of that. Mm-hmm. Essentially, they just have to fill out a form at the county clerk's office and
right.
get a certification from their physician, and they will be allowed to marry.
Because it's interesting, right? I mean, I don't understand all of the legal statutes that are in place, but mm-hmm. that we vote on something that happens, and now we have to wait from,
mm-hmm.
you know, what was the day that the vote came through? It was like November. Was it November? October? Or
that was November. I want to say it was the 5th.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Sounds, yeah.
So we
have to wait, you know, like another 8
right,
months or whatever.
Right.
Whereas, you know, some people were saying, well, maybe they should do the vote in January because then we'd immediately be able to get married
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I don't understand mm-hmm. what the difference in all that is. But for whatever it is, this is why they're trying to have
right,
this ability for people to not have to wait for a legal right that
June 1st
they already
deadline
have.
Was just like the particulars of the state constitution.
So, of course, this marriage story for Illinois, for Chicago, probably can eclipse most others.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the other big stories of things that happened in Chicago or Illinois in 2013? I mean, did we see anything happen with nonprofits or anything that sticks out for you with either, or is marriage the story? And it's okay if it is, because it's a good one.
I feel like marriage took up two-thirds of my reporting.
I know.
It seemed
like every week
mm-hmm.
there was something about marriage. And I have to say, I have to mention Kate. I would be remiss if I didn't,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
Kate Sawson,
mm-hmm.
who used to be here but now lives in Boston, did a lot of reporting on that, too. And it seemed like everything Kate was turning in was related to marriage.
Yeah, and we won an award this year. We can toot our own horn, right?
Yeah, we can toot.
I don't know what the award was. So, do you know the technical name of?
Oh my goodness!
But we got a big reward.
It was
for
Generation Halstead. It was about that series.
Uh huh.
On, let's see.
Young queer.
Yeah, young queer.
GLBT
like some
youth
mm-hmm. some homeless. I guess most of them were homeless.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
Right.
And Kate also was runner-up for Journalist of the Year,
yeah.
National
yeah.
LGBT Journalist of the Year, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, super, super cool. Well,
yeah.
Look, there's a lot of news. We're going to now move to the nation, and before we do, we're going to give you our weekly news with me and Kirk. Of course, now you know the man behind the news is Andrew and Matt and all those people on our team. We like you to think it's just us, but it's not. So we're going to break for the news and tell you what's going on in the theater scene. We'll be back with Matt and Andrew after this.
The Joffrey Ballet presents America's number one Nutcracker, Chicago's most beloved holiday tradition. The Washington Post hails it a perfect ballet and a theatrical event of irresistible power. The Chicago Tribune called it majestic and intoxicating. For an evening of pure enchantment, including a live orchestral performance of Tchaikovsky's glorious score, see the Joffrey Ballet's The Nutcracker, December 6th through the 28th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit us online, joffrey.org.
special thanks to the Nutcracker presenting sponsor, Gems World Academy, Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. Immigration Equality is representing two gay men from India who have been detained in immigration jail in El Paso, Texas for 6 months. The couple arrived in the States in June and immediately asked for asylum based on their sexual orientation. Despite relatives who have volunteered to take the couple in, the government has reportedly denied their request for parole 3 times. Immigration Equality's legal team wants Immigration and Customs Enforcement to release the couple.
The Pentagon says that all states are now complying with new rules allowing the same-sex spouses of military members to get ID cards in order to claim benefits. 9 states, including Texas, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, initially refused to allow National Guard facilities to issue the ID cards, triggering sharp criticism from Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection sent a final rule to the Federal Register designed to broaden the definition of members of a family residing in one household to more accurately reflect relationships for U.S. citizens, residents, and international visitors who are traveling together as a family. The expansion of the term will include long-term same-sex couples and other domestic relationships. The change in regulation will create less paperwork for people who are traveling together as a family.
One day after two gay employees sued BNSF Railway in federal court, the National Railway Labor Conference announced that freight carriers will begin providing insurance coverage to same-sex spouses of railroad employees beginning on New Year's Day. The lawsuit was filed in Seattle. Washington State legalized same-sex marriage last year.
The University of Southern Indiana's Faculty Senate has voted to oppose Indiana's proposed constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. 8 senators voted in favor of a motion that opposes the ban, 3 voted against it, and 2 abstained. Faculty at the University of Evansville, Indiana University, Purdue, Ball State, Butler, and other Indiana schools have all gone on record opposing the proposed constitutional amendment.
In Illinois, a federal judge signed an order on December 16th that stated same-sex couples wherein a partner faces a serious medical complication can marry ahead of the scheduled June 1st, 2014 start date when marriage equality takes effect. Couples seeking an early marriage for medical reasons will be able to access a form from their county clerk's office. A physician will need to certify the form. The ruling applies to Cook County only, so residents of other counties would have to obtain their licenses and marry there. Forms were expected to be available from the Cook County clerk's office by the afternoon of December 16th.
In world news, President Barack Obama and wife Michelle will not attend the Winter Olympic Games in Sochi, Russia. Vice President Joe Biden will not attend either. Former Cabinet Secretary Janet Napolitano will lead the delegation for the opening ceremonies, which will include out lesbian tennis star Billie Jean King. Openly lesbian ice hockey medalist Caitlin Cahill will be a part of the closing ceremony delegation. Former Olympians Bobby Blair, Eric Heiden, and figure skater Brian Boitano will also join the delegations.
Openly gay Vancouver councillor Tim Stevenson will represent the city at the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. The decision to send Stevenson instead of Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson came after much debate about how the city would respond to Russia's anti-gay law and whether the city should boycott the Games this coming February.
The company Mother London is sending a set of 5 Russian nesting dolls painted as gay British icons, Elton John, Stephen Fry, George Michael, Graham Norton, and diver Tom Daley, to the Kremlin and the Russian embassy in London in lieu of a Christmas card this year. The agency created the 7 limited edition hand-painted sets of Russian nesting dolls featuring artists' renderings of the 5 gay Brits as a gesture of solidarity with the gay community in Russia, which passed a law banning gay propaganda this year. More of the dolls will be auctioned online to raise money for pro-LGBT charity, the Kaleidoscope Trust, and its work with the Russian gay community.
In Moscow, a group of approximately 100 people attacked the city's largest gay nightclub, Central Station, dismantling its roof as well as stealing or damaging some equipment. The group took over the attic of the club, which had been the site of at least 2 attacks in November. One involving gunfire, the other including the release of harmful gas. The actions may be related to a dispute between the club management and the owners of the building it occupies.
In entertainment news, DJ Lady Bunny recently broke her wrist at Miami's Playboy Plaza Hotel. The entertainer was spinning tracks when she lost her balance and fell out of the DJ booth. She had to cancel a few gigs while her wrist healed.
Portia de Rossi has signed on to guest star in 3 episodes of Sean Hayes' NBC comedy Sean Saves the World. The lesbian actress will portray Sean's smart, high-powered ex-wife who re-enters his life. Her episodes will likely air in early spring. Upcoming shows will also feature fellow Will and Grace actress Megan Mullally as Sean's sister and Guy Pearce as his love interest.
The E! Network will be airing an exclusive, all-new, 2-hour documentary about Britney Spears' preparation for her Las Vegas show on December 22nd. The show, I Am Britney Jean, promises to offer an intimate look at Spears as she faces one of her biggest challenges ever while finishing her album, shooting videos, doing press, and being a mom. Her new album, Britney Jean, dropped December 3rd.
A pair of iconic actors passed away recently. Actor Peter O'Toole, who shot to international fame in the film classic Lawrence of Arabia, died at 81 after a long illness. He did set a dubious record by being the most nominated actor never to receive an Oscar, 8 nominations, although he received an honorary award in 2003. Also, Joan Fontaine died at the age of 96. She was the sister of actress Olivia de Havilland, and she won an Oscar in 1942 for the Alfred Hitchcock film Suspicion, beating her sister de Havilland in the process.
Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson is under fire for bashing gays in a GQ interview in which he grouped homosexuality with drunks and terrorists. After he complained that everything is blurred on what's right and wrong, sin becomes fine. The magazine asked what he considers sinful. He said, "Start with homosexual behavior and just morph out from there. Bestiality, sleeping around with this woman and that woman and that woman and those men." Duck Dynasty is cable's highest-rated reality show. A&E has suspended Robertson indefinitely.
Beyoncé's unique marketing strategy has apparently worked. The singer sold almost 830,000 copies of Beyoncé in the first 3 days it was available, breaking an iTunes record for most albums sold in the first week of release. It also debuted in the top spot in 104 countries. She released her previously unannounced visual album, 14 songs and 17 videos, on December 13th.
And Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin will join together for their 7th consecutive year to ring in the new year for CNN. "Wait, what? CNN hired her again? For real?" said Cooper. After she used the F-word live in 2009, Griffin said CNN would pull her off the air if she did it again. Cooper and Griffin's coverage will begin Tuesday, December 31st at 9 p.m. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, pineapples. I'm Miss Fousey, and you're listening to Windy City Queer Cast. I love them.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of December 23rd, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Prepare for a jolly good night out at Chicago's Shakespeare, The Merry Wives of Windsor. Chicago sometimes praises it as a warm-hearted, exuberantly active production. Chicago Now says the Merry Wives themselves are Lucy and Ethel perfection in this comedy classic that has all the glee of the season. The Merry Wives of Windsor is playing now, January 19th. More at ChicagoShakes.com.
Timeline Theater Company has another formidable production, says the Chicago Tribune, about The Normal Heart, Larry Kramer's landmark drama about the AIDS crisis. The Chicago Sun-Times calls The Normal Heart breathtaking, and Time Out Chicago awards it 5 stars. For tickets, visit TimelineTheater.com. The Normal Heart must close December 29th at Stage 773.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
It's Christmas time. Outside, the snow is falling. like a million stars, like a million dreams, all dressed up in white. I'm writing Christmas cards, a joy that's tinged with sadness as I think of friends. Some are here and some are gone, but our love goes on and on like the snow tonight. And oh, what a family my life has given me. From the corners of the earth to the reaches of the sky, we touch eternally. And though my heart aches every day, this Christmas I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me. God bless my family.
As years go by, the carols we sang as children gather memories. What was just a song now feels like a prayer, welcoming us home to fathers, mothers,
sisters,
brothers everywhere.
Some we've lost and some we've found, as love circles us around in the songs we share. And oh, what a family my life has given me. From the corners of the earth to the reaches of the sky, we touch eternally.
This Christmas, I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me. God bless my family.
So fly, angels of my heart,
we'll never be apart.
Tonight I say,
Christmas, I will find a way to let each face I've ever loved shine out in me.
God bless my family. You'll always live in me. God bless my family.
It's
So, guys, the nation. I mean, this, I mean, we should say, we just talked about Illinois, you know, finally winning the battle and having marriage happen. But there was a period of time where it was like dominoes. Like, it was like this date, mm-hmm. this date. I think we were all feeling a little like, we got to fucking get this marriage thing because we're Illinois, for God's sakes, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
it was very, I thought it was very interesting.
I mean, marriage is a big story of the year and for the nation. I mean, we can obviously talk about the Supreme Court and all these states. So, but go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, when this year started, there were 10 states, I guess that would include D.C., which isn't a state. But, you know, now we have 16. It was Rhode Island, Delaware, I wrote these down because I didn't want to forget them.
Yep.
Minnesota, New Jersey, Hawaii, and, of course, Illinois.
Yes, and the whole story started with Hawaii, so it felt a little full circle. I remember back in 1998, 97, 99, when I was doing Les by Gay Radio, and I remember talking on the radio all the time going, why do we care about marriage? There's so many other things that we need to care about. And I really think I had such an emotional impact the day that marriage came to just Illinois. I don't know why it felt so more personal when it came here, but I started thinking, man, this is really fundamental. I was short-sighted, and I didn't see how fundamental it was, you know, back then, being in my mid-20s and telling this story before, you know, like Ellen came out and, you know, and while we were doing the Matthew Shepard trial. I mean, you know, this is when Hawaii started this whole conversation. I'm so happy for them to finally, you know, have it happen.
Yeah, better late than never. But
So all of those states in this 1 year.
In this 1 year, six states.
And yet now, when we look at the nation, many, many states have these amendments or statutes that define marriage. So does that create a stalemate where those are either going to have to be overturned or whether, I mean, are there any more states that can happen, I guess, recently?
Well,
you know?
It's interesting. Looking at the trend, and yeah, there is going to be a stalemate. It's going to take a long time for some states because, especially in the Deep South, I mean, Mississippi just got slavery off the books.
And sodomy. I don't even know if it's off. I think sodomy is still on. They're worried about the livestock.
But looking west,
those are my people, so don't anybody send me a comment. You know, not Mississippi, but down around there. Although I will say, my great state of Tennessee had a couple of people, a couple of small towns, one very close to me that's primarily a Seventh-day Adventist college town, that's all it is, who passed protections for employees of LGBT people in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And so, I mean, there's change to the reddest, one of the reddest states in the red states, you know, which
there is
huge.
Hope.
And
that
makes me go, okay, there's momentum. When I can see that in my hometown, because I live in this gay bubble known as Chicago, known as Andersonville, you know what I mean? It's my friends are like, you live in a bubble. And I'm like,
it's true.
I do, but I like my bubble. It's like Glinda in The Wizard of Oz. Like, mine's pretty, and I have a good ball gown on in it.
Our organizations, you know, the national organizations really have their eyes probably on about five different states right now.
Okay.
I think
looking toward the West is going to be interesting because
New Mexico is the next one.
Well, New Mexico is the only state out of all 50 that doesn't have a statute that either prohibits or approves same-sex marriage. So currently, 8 of the 33 counties in that state approve same-sex marriage, but those 8 counties make up about 60% of the population.
Okay, that's good.
So, and I think Oregon is moving in that direction, and Nevada as well.
It's so interesting that Oregon doesn't have it. They're just so Oregon, you know?
So granola.
Our food has come, so you guys please eat while we talk.
I think
people will have lunch with us.
The thought is that by the time these 5 states get marriage, it's going to be time for a major lawsuit that's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court that will pretty much nail it for the rest of the country. You know, you'll have people who who are residents of states like Massachusetts, Illinois, who have property in Florida or another state, or they have to visit the hospital in another state, and that's going to lead to a
seeing like divorce. You know, people who have gotten married in one state and want to come back and get divorced in the state in which they live, which they're currently married. So
I predict that's
going
to be the hot button topic of the same-sex.
I told someone the other day, I said we're going to have same-sex marriage June 2nd and same-sex divorce June 3rd.
Friends of mine in New York, in Massachusetts, said that, you know, people will basically get engaged on their second date after all of this.
Well, I think it'll be really interesting 5 years from now to see if our divorce statistics are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if they're just the same. Mm-hmm. And if they're the same, then it will just tell us that we're all the same, which we already kind of know, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, the big news on a national level, the Supreme Court.
DOMA.
Edie Windsor. And as well as Prop 8. Can you talk just briefly about what went down with that vote? Because that was setting us up for June for Gay Pride Month to be this huge, huge celebration. And then I think for us in Chicago, it was a little like, wah, wah, which was kind of how I felt the night that Obama was first elected. It was like the world was so excited. And then that was the night that all the anti-gay marriage amendments also was like, we're all so excited. But the gay community is kind of like, yeah, but we're not there yet.
Yeah,
you know,
very mixed.
We just elected a black man and yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So, Andrew, can you talk a little bit about...
The U.S. Supreme Court basically ruled that Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act, which basically involves the definition of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Section 3 is about, was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually has paved the way for a lot of federal departments, like the Department of Education, Social Security, to revise its policies to make them more pro-gay, inclusive.
More inclusive. And it's interesting, too, because I hear from you all every week. I continue to do stories about, what's happening in so many different federal communities, whether it's, the Coast Guard or what's happening in the military, with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being gone, and now all this with DOMA, of how we now are taking care of our veterans or government employees, partners, too, in the way that we should.
Mm-hmm.
So that's obviously a huge... And then with Prop 8 now, all those couples who got married in California are married and they're not in some sort of limbo.
Yeah.
Are there stories that go beyond marriage in the nation that seem to be the big resonant stories this past year?
Well, ENDA, it was introduced in...
That's the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Yes, and it's trans-inclusive.
Yes.
And the Senate actually passed it last month, but good luck getting it through the House, which is Republican-controlled, and John Boehner has already said pretty much, no way, Jose.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. Also, regarding politics, it was, I think, kind of a groundbreaking year as well for Tammy Baldwin.
Yes.
Because she became the first member of the LGBT community to become a U.S. senator. So that was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. And she's just always been, because she's kind of a hometown girl. I mean, she's Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
she's from our neck of the woods, a good Midwestern
she's
gal.
Loved in Wisconsin,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. She's beloved here.
And we're
in
taking
Wisconsin.
Over the cities as well. I mean... The mayor of Houston was reelected. Anise, I guess is that pronounced name?
Anise
Parker.
Mm-hmm.
A-N-N-I-S-E. Anise, if you're listening, I apologize if I mispronounced your name. And also Seattle got its first gay mayor. And even Atlantic City, New Jersey, which actually has a gay Republican as its mayor. So
more and more we have representation when these things are coming to pass that our voices are in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely something we bring it, pull it back into looking in Chicago that made it so personal to hear the members of the House, whether it was Kelly Cassidy or Deb Mell or any of these people speaking about their own personal experience.
Sam Yingling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
go ahead.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, what are the other national
stories? No, I was just going to say, on a personal level, not personal, me... But regarding one person, Chelsea Manning, who was Bradley Manning, first class, ended up being sentenced.
This is the WikiLeaks.
Yeah,
it's a huge story.
Was it 700,000 files to WikiLeaks?
Yep.
Ended up being sentenced to 35 years in prison.
Right.
And, she ends up losing her rank, her pay, and...
But declared her transsexuality this year, right? It was in this year, within this
after
year.
After the ruling, actually, interestingly
Which is
enough.
Really interesting because I haven't heard that spun in a super negative way in the conservative press. Not that I listen to the conservative press. My dad always says, we should watch it. I'll watch that Fox News to know what's going on. What the other side, you know? It's so funny.
I have got to meet your dad one
day. You do. He needs to just come on the podcast. But yes, he was probably somebody who watched Fox News for real 10 years ago. But you have gay child, things change. But you know, I don't know, but I didn't hear a ton about that because the sentence was the sentence but whatever freedom that gives her, you know, it definitely, is it a big trans year nationally?
Well, we talked about ENDA.
Right. I mean, that's obviously.
Yeah.
Because ENDA is another one of those conversations that's been being talked about since the 90s, you know, the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of the news I heard that was translated, though, was bad news, unfortunately, in terms of people allegedly being fired or people allegedly being attacked, physically attacked. You know,
more of a trans year internationally, I think, this year with some of the world stories that I can recall of people making it easier in different countries now to whether or not you have to have surgery to identify or making it easier to change your gender identity on documents.
Yeah,
and
I think that was Australia.
Well, any other big news stories that twirl your skirt?
That twirl my skirt? I just got a really interesting visual. there were just a few obits I noticed. Although, actually, going back to what you said about you have a gay kid and things change, yep. Rob Portman in Ohio, he became a proponent of marriage equality, but it was 2 years after his son came out to him. So talk about having a gay kid and things change. I mean, some conservative Republicans said that he was pretty much digging his own grave regarding his career I really think things are slowly changing within the Republican Party. I mean, I know that will probably pain some of the listeners to hear. I don't know.
But many of the most conservatives have said, you know, we've lost this marriage battle. Like, it's gone now. I mean, it's inevitable and it's gone. And just kind of that surrender, I think, has been significant, for sure. You said that there were some obits, some people that we lost this year on a national level.
Yeah, I mean, like,
Was Sally Ride this year?
Sally Ride was...
Or was she last year? But she seems to have been getting a lot of awards this year.
Well,
you know?
Plus we had her on the cover, her partner, her widow,
yes,
on the cover
this week's paper.
Sally, I want to say it was last year.
Okay. But Koch?
But yeah, Ed Koch, the former mayor of New York City. Of course, he never really went public about his life.
Sure.
But it was the source of a lot of speculation. There was Sean Sasser, and I don't know if you remember him, but you remember The Real World when Pedro was on there, Pedro Zamor. Sean was his boyfriend.
Right.
And, yeah, so Sean passed away this year. And a really tragic case, and I hate to put this in there, but I do think it's kind of important. 15-year-old Jaden Bell committed suicide as a result of bullying earlier this year. And then his father, Joseph, was doing a nationwide walk to bring attention to bullying and was killed.
It was hit, right?
He was killed, hit by
a
rig. Yeah, and killed. It was really sad.
I feel like that's still a big story this year, and I believe it gained a lot of momentum. And I was just saying to somebody, you know, it's how interesting the marriage conversation seems to all link together. But, you know, the conversation about... having protection state to state or, you know, community to community for kids, whether perceived or real, LGBT kids, Q kids being bullied. And, you know, this is definitely a story we started hearing with Dan Savage and It Gets Better, which kind of, you know, was last year's big Hallmark stories. But I feel like the story is truly continuing. You know, we hear so many, you know, young kids who, when this pendulum is swinging, right? This pendulum is swinging towards our equality. You know, we think, I mean, how can any of us who are not you know, 20 or younger mm-hmm. really identify with what it's like to be now that it is, you actually kind of can't hide mm-hmm. as much, right? And so there's a transition that feels like it's happening, and our kids, I'm just hoping that the legislation and communities will go out and protect, like I said, mm-hmm. real LGBT kids or perceived LGBT mm-hmm. kids. And that feels like that's going to be a continuing story.
Yeah, when we were younger, you know, it's like, hopefully when we went home, there was a respite from the bullying you got at school. And now with Facebook and cell phones and everything like that, there's no guarantee that it's going to stop. Mm-hmm. And it can be, I can imagine how overwhelming it would be now.
I just hope that that's the news of 2014 as we look forward, is that our nation starts really doing a better job and our LGBTQ community mm-hmm. starts doing a better job mentoring and looking out for mm-hmm. the young people in our community. And I think that's just a continued effort and a continued hope moving forward. Well, moving forward, mm-hmm. next show, we're going to have a week off, and the next week we're going to talk about the news of the world, because we're changing as a nation, and you know, we definitely are one of the global leaders, but it's changing sometimes faster out there than it is here back home, and also the world of entertainment, which we really enjoy quite a bit. So we'll be back. I hope that everybody has a wonderful Christmas and holiday, if that's what you celebrate. Those of you who are Jewish, like Mitchell, we'll go have Chinese, and Matt as well, have Chinese food and enjoy St. August Osage County, which I guarantee you will be the high holidays for them, and some Barbra Streisand singing Christmas songs, or Kenny G, or one of the other fabulous Jewish people who sing Christmas carols better than the Gentiles. But Merry Christmas to all of you. I love you for listening. And I'm so grateful for all of you who continue to support the Queercast. And we'll be back for our New Year's Week show and New Year's Eve show to talk about the world and talk about the world of entertainment. Ciao, everybody.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Breaking news in after Kirk and I had recorded this news segment of the podcast today. Here's what Brian Boitano would do. He has come out of the closet. In a press statement, the figure skater discussed being part of the U.S. delegation traveling to Russia for the upcoming 2014 Winter Olympics. He said, "While I'm proud to play a public role in representing the American Olympic delegation as a former Olympic athlete, I have always reserved my private life for my family and friends and will continue to do so. I am many things, a son, a brother, an uncle, a friend, an athlete, a cook, an author, and being gay is just one part of who I am." And one other breaking news story, the New Mexico Supreme Court has legalized same-sex marriage, declaring it is unconstitutional to deny a marriage license to gay and lesbian couples. New Mexico joined 16 states and the District of Columbia in allowing gay marriage. 8 of the state's 33 counties have started issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples since August, when a county clerk in southern New Mexico independently decided to allow the unions. So, welcome to the fold, New Mexico. It's a great way to go out in this new year. And that's the end of this podcast. We'll be back next week with Andrew and Matt to talk about world news and also the year in entertainment. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.